Now, I think today I'll be able to sustain the thesis I made at the beginning relative to King Saul. When we began with him way back in chapter 9, why, I think I gave a harsh criticism of him, and I think that we'll begin now to see that this man, down underneath that exterior and outward veneer that made him look like a king, that underneath he was no king at all, that he's nothing in the world but just a paper doll king, and he's not truly a king in any way whatsoever. Now, we want to begin today here at chapter 13, and I'll read. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And now notice this, because it's very important to note. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that were in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. Now, my friend, the true character of this man is beginning to come out. We're beginning to see just exactly what kind of a man he really is. And when we get a view of him, we're going to see that underneath, he indeed, I think, can be called a phony king. Now, did you notice, friends, that when we read here, Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines? Who was it that really got the victory? Well, this man, Jonathan, the son of Saul, is the one who got the victory. And I take it that he was a very capable military leader, because we'll find out that he did the same thing later on of getting a great victory and using a very interesting strategy when he did it. But now, when Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines, notice what it says, Saul blew the trumpet. Saul believed in that which is not scripture at all. If it is in any book, it's in the book of Hezekiah, along about the 10th chapter, where it says, "He that tooteth not his own horn, said horn will go untooted." So Saul is blowing his own horn. But he doesn't give his son Jonathan credit for winning the battle. He takes credit for it. And he called all Israel together. And he gave out that phony report. Now, you know, the army knew differently. Those that were followers of Jonathan. Now, folk are beginning to suspect that there is a weakness in his armor, and that this is the Achilles heel of this man. Is he humble? We said at the beginning we thought that was false humility. And I think that which is the real Saul is coming out. Now we find out that the Philistines are still able to make war, and they are coming strong against them. And we find here Saul is bringing the people together, and he is spending so much time taking credit for winning that which he didn't win. Verse 8, and I'm reading, "And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, 'Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering.' And he offered the burnt offering." Now, this is, again, another revelation. Because he's king, this man presumes. This is presumption on his part. A little later on, we'll find that a king by the name of Uzziah presumed also. And he was made a leper. Now, this man Saul here presumes, and he's going to take the office of priest. And we're told here in verse 10, "Came to pass that as soon as he'd made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him." Saul just wasn't willing to wait for Samuel. He's impatient, and he's presumptuous, and this is what happens. Now listen, "And Samuel said, 'What hast thou done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. He had three good reasons he fought. He's rationalizing, of course. Number one, the people were scattered. Number two, the Philistines were coming against him. And number three, Samuel's a little late getting there, and he's blaming everything and everybody else, his circumstances and Samuel, for what he did. Now, will you notice, verse 12, "Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal." That, may I say, is rationalization. "And I have not made supplication unto the Lord." That's false piousity. "I force myself." That's a lie. "And I offered a burnt offering." This is Saul, friends. Now listen, verse 13. Listen to Samuel. "And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." At the beginning, this man Samuel said, if you had obeyed God, then God would bless you. Now you've disobeyed. And you've disobeyed in something that a king ought not to disobey in. And because of that, verse 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." In other words, the king must obey the Lord. The ruler must obey the Lord. And what this world needs today is a ruler who is being ruled by the Lord. That's our problem. That's the problem of the world. And, of course, we'll not get one until Jesus comes. And that's God's ultimate purpose, of course, in this earth. Now, God has got him a man he's going to bring on the scene. And even Samuel, at this time, does not know who it is. He doesn't even know which direction to go to find him. Although, I think he's in the neighborhood. They're down in this area. I think in the neighborhood of Jerusalem. Now, we're told, Samuel arose and gat him up from Gilgad unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the people that were present with him abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. Now we're told here that they are going to begin the battle, and we see here what real disarmament is and the danger of it. By the way, there are those today that are trying, of course, to disarm America. They think if you destroy all the ammunition today, that somehow or another you couldn't have a war. I can't think of any more foolish reasoning than that. And a great many people think if you just have a gun law and get rid of guns, well, all you do is disarm honest people, and you do not disarm the crooks, and you just lay them open to be violated by the unlawful. This thing today, this idealistic, foolish type of thinking. Now look at it here. Verse 19, "Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords of spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock." In other words, the Philistines disarmed them. "Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks, for the axes and to sharpen the goads." These were farm implements that they used, and to sharpen them they had to go down to the Philistines. And by the way, the Philistines then were able to keep a pretty good count of just what they really had in the way of weapons, in the way of instruments, in the way, of course, of those instruments that they used for the tilling of the soil. Verse 22, "So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son were there found." Only two actually had swords. Now the others had, well, I think some were carrying plowshares. Some were carrying a mattock. Some were carrying axes. That was the type of instruments that they had to fight with. Now we're told, and the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash.